It makes a human more productive because a human only has to do the things the machine can't figure out. And that's really what Industry 4.0 is. A lot of people think it's robots replacing humans. It's not. It's really about driving the productivity of the human and use the human where we need them, take the man out of the loop where we don't need them, and then they're not overwhelmed, and have the system drive the results that we want by codifying processes.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is the Digital Supply Chain Podcast, the number one podcast focusing on the digitization of supply chain. And I'm your host, Global Vice President at SAP, Tom Raftery. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Digital Supply Chain Podcast. My name is Tom Raftery with SAP. And with me on the show today, I have my special guest, Marty. Marty, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, Tom, thanks for having me on. Marty Groover, I'm a partner and a chief technology officer for a company called C5MI. A little bit about my background. I'm a retired Navy officer, spent 21 years in the Navy driving ships and working on weapon systems. And I used SAP in the Navy, which was kind of interesting. Learned a lot about it. And then I transitioned over to Caterpillar. I was a manufacturing engineer, and I spent 12 years in manufacturing, different roles, operations manager, maintenance, and then facility manager. And I deployed SAP again. So I got to learn SAP, used it, then went back to AS400, old green screen systems, and then back to SAP. So it's sort of like going from Mac to PC back and forth. You know, it's kind of a mind warp, but I did appreciate the SAP SAP GUI after I went back to the old system. But I complained about it enough. I used it in my factory, and we just turned things around. And they put me in charge of all SAP deployments in the Navy, or excuse me, all SAP deployments at Caterpillar globally. And I really learned a lot about the power of the core system. And then we started doing Industry 4.0 sort of lighthouse projects in a couple factories, predictive maintenance, real-time location tracking, things like that, that really leveraged the core system, but started adding that foundational data. Lo and behold, I really loved that. Found out I had a passion for it. Started in 2018, we started a company, C5MI. And what we do for our customers is we install Industry 4.0 solutions, SAP solutions, and really leverage that digital core to drive predictive maintenance, digital supply chain. So I'm excited to be on the show and looking forward to it.
Fantastic. And where does the name C5MI come from?
Well, that's interesting. So one of the roles I had in the Navy, I was on an Admiral staff, and I was responsible for the whole strike group's computer system. So it stands for Command, Control, Computers, Communication, Collaboration, and Intelligence at the time. We added management insights because we really believe live data is the only way to have the situational awareness to really drive business outcomes. So we took that name, and I love it because everybody always asks us what it means. But for us, it's creating that common operational picture that everybody can do better with and have the same single version of the truth.
Okay, fascinating. And you just published a book, Marty. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's been a long journey. It's been in my head. You know, one of those things you just have to do is driving at me. And I really see myself as Marty McFly. I've seen the future in the military. And then I kind of got into the manufacturing. I went, wow, I thought I was behind in the military. All those things I learned were really powerful. And Speed of Advance.
Speed of Advance is the name of the book you've published.
Yes, sir. It's the name of the book. And it's also a thing that you do in the military as officer of the deck. You know, we're always responsible for making sure the ship is on time where it's supposed to be. And we have to drive at the most economical speed. And so the captain will always come up and say, you know, what's the speed of advance? And you never want to get it creeped up to over 20 knots because it's hard to get where you're supposed to be. So you're always managing actual versus plan. And for me in manufacturing, especially as responsible for a P&L and a factory, everything has to be measured in order to hit those numbers and hit those strategic goals and quality and safety and velocity, all those things you get measured on. So it was a great translation. The key piece is you have to understand how to converge people, process, and technology to really leverage the new technology coming out. That's one thing I've learned over the last few years doing this.
And why? Why did you write the book?
I go to customers a lot, and I start seeing everybody's trying to do something. They know they have to do something with Industry 4.0. I mean, you're in that business. You see it coming. But a lot of people don't understand. They think they can just – the technology is a silver bullet. It's not. If you look at the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the end of the third, industrial revolution, the Silicon Age, the chip, whatever you want to call it, kind of ended around 2011. And we've actually gone down in productivity. Why has that happened? Too much technology, too much data, but it's not converged properly with the people, and it's not driving the productivity. So what I thought was, is I'll write a book that's not how to do Industry 4.0, but how to think about getting yourself set up to really build the foundation to leverage the technology.
Okay. And how does speed of advance, the Navy nautical term, how do you translate that into Industry 4.0? What's the connection?
The technology that we have now and the technology we had in the Navy. So at the end of the Vietnam War, air warfare got so fast that man in a radar trying to track a missile going Mach 2.5 wasn't happening anymore. Our ships took missile hits and things like that. And the Navy realized we've got to have a new system that takes the man out of the loop, a system, an engine, but also a system measuring it and with algorithms driving those behaviors without a human in the loop. For instance, tracking, so many tracks that a human can't keep track of them. And what they did is they build a system by exception that drives the human. It makes a human more productive because the human only has to do the things the machine can't figure out. And that's really what Industry 4.0 is. A lot of people think it's robots replacing humans. It's not. It's really about driving the productivity of the human and use the human where we need them, take the man out of the loop where we don't need them, and then they're not overwhelmed and have the system drive the results that we want by codifying processes and digitizing those things that a human doesn't need to do that can happen over and over. It's repeatable. We know what it is. So it's really about implementing that capability to drive that common operational picture and automate things that make sense to be automated and use the human at their best levels of performance.
Okay. And did you ever in the Navy hear gunners talking about them being afraid of losing their jobs to computers?
Nope, we did not, because the humans, I mean, we reduced the amount of people we needed, but again, it's hard to recruit in the military. So what we did is we created specialists. And I think I can, we could talk for hours about the next wave of jobs. But what's going to happen is what I saw is we became operators, technicians, because you had to know so much about the system, the weapon systems people that worked on my radars, the gun systems, the missile systems. Not only did they know how to operate it, but they maintained it because it took that to do it. So when I look at manufacturing, when I look at the future, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be operator, technicians, and automation and the ability to quickly analyze failures and predictive maintenance is all built in all the systems, redundancy, all of that. So it automatically, because you can't go up to the captain and say, I'm not ready to fire a missile. You have to be ready 100% of the time. And so these systems were built that way. And the humans were taught to not only execute them, but now they're more into tactics and they can spend their time into really learning how to fight the ship, and the technology supports them. So it's kind of the chasm between, where we're at today and Star Trek, so to speak, right in that sweet spot.
And so in manufacturing, how much of this can transfer? I mean, the lessons you learned in the Navy about, measuring, taking data, getting, knowing exactly where you are at any point in time, how much of that translates into today's manufacturing?
I think it translates really well, because you can't just go out, and a lot of people are thinking, Industry 4.0, IoT, you just go out and sensorize everything and then you drive. You have to have the codification of a process, and then you measure things that roll up into the process. So that, and I know you're familiar with this term, but the digital thread horizontally through the process from end to end supply chain is one thing, but that vertical thread is very important too, through the ISA 95 stack. So things that happen at the lower levels feed up and roll up into it, but they drive the right behaviors. And how do we win in warfare? The quickest person that can understand the battle space, the intelligence behind it, and can make the faster decisions win. And that's what's going to happen with supply chain. That's where AWS and Amazon, AWS is a platform, and Amazon has built a way that they're available to promise is so much faster than other companies. Why? Because they built the technology and they have sensors and data all the way through their supply chain. But it's not just having the data. They have the right decision making off the top of that data, and they have that all built in. So it's a you just keep building it out, if it makes sense. And then the next thing you want to measure is this, and predictive maintenance. And it's all integrated. It's not separate. Maintenance of systems is not separate. And pretty soon, maintenance of computer systems and all of it will all be into one platform. It'll have to be to drive that behaviors and actually improve productivity and reduce problems in our supply chains.
It kind of sounds like you're talking about an operating system for factories.
It is. Well, I want to just take it past factories. It's really supply chain. I've seen one of the things when I was factory manager, I said, hey, guess what? Everybody's supply chain here. I don't care if you're manufacturing engineer. Our one job is to bring in raw material, convert it, and get it to the next step. So we're all supply chain. And there's the source, make, deliver, if you're a supply chain operational reference person. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the way we think about things. There's common processes. So everybody thinks they're different. You're not. You source the material, and I don't care whether you're a lawyer or whatever, you make something with it and you deliver it. And you have some planning and some enablement. If you break it down into those simple pieces, now there's processes that can be connected and drive together to make a holistic or harmonized sort of picture.
Okay, so if everything is in the one, as I said, operating system or platform, then everything can talk to everything and you have total visibility of where anything is in any point in time, similar to you had in the Navy. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Yep. And then you can drive measuring it, which is DMAIC, define, measure, analyze. But then you analyze what you're measuring, and then you actually create diagnostics of why you didn't. So speed of advance. Why didn't I make what I was supposed to make today? Why didn't I get the quality I was supposed to make? Why didn't the parts get to my lines when they were supposed to? All of those key things that drive almost a firing train or a critical path through your supply chain and processes. Now it's measured. When it doesn't meet standard, you have the analytics and the diagnostics, and that's how you can have that continuous improvement, even to the system. Get to the point where the codification of the process where it's prescriptive. Hey, this didn't happen. Do this, this, and this to fix it and drive that those behaviors that you want. And the beauty of it is then the humans are so much more effective. You really only use them, you know, you use their knowledge, but you use them to work on the hardest problems.
Okay. And you mentioned the word codification a couple of times now. Can you explain what you mean by that just for people who might not get it?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there's a process. There's a physical process. I'll just take receipting of material and, you know, any sort of warehouse and supply chain. You receive. There's a process from the time that truck hits the dock until you put it away, until it goes to the assembly line or the process manufacturing, whatever manufacturing. That process has to happen repeatedly over and over and over. So you codify it. You say these steps are the key steps that happen. You measure them and you say it should take me this long to do this process. Then you measure actually how long it takes. And then you drive that visibility up to the people of how their performance is. And then what do you have to do to drive those by exception events that prevent you from hitting your speed of advance? You know, what am I supposed to do today? And if you can do that and build a system that not only measures it all the way through, but you know your past performance, and this is where AWS wins, they know every how long it takes to deliver something. They have so much data that now they can spin a knob. What if my demand goes up by this much? Or what if I do this? And they can drive improvements in their system continuously. And that's really the codification of a process.
Okay. And I mean, you're out talking to customers now, well, not right now, but these days. Where are they on that spectrum of codification of processes and building that platform? Where are they, and how do they get to where they should be?
Yeah, there's a maturity curve we kind of look at, you know, in the process. Are you even doing anything about your defects in your processes, so to speak? Do you even measure them? If you do measure them, what do you do about it? Is that digitized? So there's a curve that we kind of do an assessment where people are at. And then what we try to do is we don't talk about technology. We talk about capabilities. And this is where supply chain operational reference comes in. What are the capabilities you need to create a competitive advantage, to improve your business outcomes, to improve the engagement of your people? Because, again, I don't believe Industry 4.0 is going to get rid of people. There's not enough people in manufacturing. I go to customers right now. They're struggling to get people to work in manufacturing. So we're going to have to automate these things. But for the people that are in those jobs, how do you make, do you engage them? They're all digital natives now. They're starting to come up. They're, you know, they're born with a cell phone in their hand. They're used to having data in their personal life.
Yeah.
How do you, because we all have a common operational picture in our hand. It's our cell phones and our computer, you know, they're all connected. Why can't we have that in our work life? And that's where it's really going. All of those things into one common operating environment. And, you know, like an Apple phone or Samsung, whichever one you love, there is a system. And if something new comes into it, you easily adapt to it because you understand that platform and that system.
Yeah. And speaking to customers now, are you seeing any patterns, you know, that there's one particular aspect of manufacturing or whatever it is in the supply chain that they're not getting right? Or is it a broad spectrum? You know, what are you seeing there?
We'll be right back.
Elevate your brand with the Sustainable Supply Chain Podcast, the exclusive voice in supply chain sustainability. Last year, this podcast's episode were downloaded 113,000 times by senior executives across the world, with listeners concentrated in the EU, North America, and Asia. Become a sponsor. Lead the conversation. Contact me for sponsorship opportunities and turn downloads into dialogues. Act today. Influence the future.
What I see a lot of times is there's a lot of pockets of data. They're still siloed. They're there. There's a lot of data there, but there's so much of it, and they don't know what to do with it. And there's so much work with that data. But companies are realizing we have to do things. I think the COVID situation and supply chains, people are starting to come to the table now. They know they need to do something. They go anywhere from, I need to measure stuff at, say, level one, level two, you know, on an ISA 95 stack. And there's that whole war of where it's going to come from IT to OT. And where is that line of demarcation? So depending on the customer, it's dependent on where they're at in that stack, so to speak. And then what we do is go in and what business capabilities do you need? Start a pilot and start building the architecture that will support it. Because every place we go, everybody says, oh, we've got data. But a lot of times when you start trying to pull that data together, harmonize it and make it work as a master data for the platform, that's where we spend a lot of the time integrating things for them.
Interesting. And that learning, is that something you're bringing to new customers? And is, you know, what kind of challenges are you facing and are they facing in overcoming those?
So our company, C5MI, this is why we're different. We're all functional people that have run P&Ls, run factories, been manufacturing engineers or supply chain engineers or whatever, that have learned IT. So we bring a different approach. And what we do is look at the customers and understand where they're at on the journey and help them develop capabilities that they need and roadmaps, because this elephant is too big to eat in one bite. You have to think about, where can I find one factory that wants to win? Where can I find people that want to do something different? Where can I leverage technology I have and then expand it? So build a pilot, build a program, build a concept that this is going to be a long-term journey. It's not one and done. It's continuous as you build that platform out. And that's why we try. That's why this book is so important, because if you think about, this is not a 1 year, 2 year thing, right? This is going to be many years in the future, this industrial revolution. And the technology today may not be the technology tomorrow. That's why it always has to be open architecture, a platform, and think about what capabilities will drive competitive advantage, improve business outcomes. And then you just keep growing that based off from continuous improvement.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think that's something that people don't appreciate enough, is that this is a journey, and it's a long journey. In the same way that when we started to computerize manufacturing, you know, that started in what, the 50s and 60s, and it continued until today, and it continues. And now the whole fourth industrial is going to go for another 50, 60, 70 years and beyond as well. So it's the sooner you get started in this kind of stuff, I think the better, right?
You know, I loved, whatever you think of Jeffrey Immelt, I mean, he was really forward thinking on this. You know, he tried with GE Digital and all of that and Brilliant Factory. And I did a lot of reading on him. But one of the things, and there's a clip out there, him talking about it. He says, if you're a CEO today and you're not already thinking about this or how you're going to do it, there will become a time when you will not have the choice or the latitude, as he says, to make those decisions, you will be forced. And I think there's a true piece of that the compression will get so big that there won't be enough people like us to actually help companies do it, no matter how much money you throw at it. So when you look at, just do a little research in the last 3 or 4 years, how many retail companies have gone bankrupt because of the Amazon wave and things that have happened. I do believe there's going to be lighthouse companies. There's, you know, if you look at World Economic Forum, McKinsey out there, there's lighthouse groups that are starting to figure this out. If these people use technology to get far enough ahead, they're going to leave a wake of, you know, this whole retail bankruptcies, because you won't catch up. You just won't be able to. You can throw every bit of money you have at it, and it just, you won't get there.
Okay. Marty, if I were a supply chain manager listening to this podcast, what 3 or 4 pieces of advice would you give me if I wanted to start out on this journey?
I would really think about, what do you need to improve your business outcomes? Do you need real-time tracking of material inside your facilities? Do you need to measure every process down to almost like a process capability measurement of time? Think about capabilities you need. Don't think about technology. Everybody gets enamored with shiny objects. You get a lot of salespeople come in and try to sell you everything. And then the problem that you have is, if you're not thinking platform, you're going to buy a bunch of little systems. And then you're going to have this, and I had this at Caterpillar, you have this technology debt or technological debt that is unbelievable, because you can't unravel that furball of all these little siloed systems. Well, this is best in class and this is best. Don't buy best in class. Buy open architecture. Think about, what capabilities do you need? Keep it simple. Keep it very simple. Don't get too complex to begin with, and really think about that convergence. What do you need the people to get out of? What can you do? For instance, MRP exceptions. A lot of those, you can automate those. Take them out of the people's noise and lower the noise for people, and then just keep building the processes. So it's a, you know, really thinking about things differently instead of, hey, I'm just going to go out and buy the silver bullet.
Very good. Very good. Marty, we're coming towards the end of the podcast now. Is there any question I have not asked that you wish I had, or any aspect of this that we haven't touched on that you think it's important for people to be aware of?
You know, the biggest thing I'd like to get across, and this is why I tried to keep this book very non-technical, is that don't be afraid of the next industrial revolution. I hear this all the time. I listen to podcasts, you know, humans, we're just going to have to give everybody a income because they're going to have no jobs. I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. I think we're going to evolve as humans. This is going to make us better. It's going to overcome trade deficits. Cotton of consumption will really drive the improvements. This is the only way we're going to get the efficiency that we need. We sort of shipped everything over to China to have reduced labor costs. This is going to allow us to overcome that arbitrage and reduce the reliance on one country for supply. So it's going to democratize, I think, production, because you're going to have very distributed manufacturing, smaller pieces. So my whole thing is, don't be afraid of it, embrace it, and figure out how to converge people properly, because we're never going to get rid of the people. We never got rid of the people. We could automate things in the Navy, but we still needed that person to manage the power of that system, right?
Right, right. Makes a lot of sense. Cool. Marty, if people want to know more about yourself or about C5MI or about Speed of Advance or any of the things we discussed in the podcast today, where would you have me direct them?
So first, the book will be released on the 22nd of February on Amazon. So you'll be able to just, there's nothing else on there called Speed of Advance, so it's an easy search. Okay. I did my work on that. I've set that up. So you can get the book there. And then www.c5mi.com is our website. And you can see about our digital supply chain and our asset management services that we provide in consulting.
Okay. And in the prep for this, you mentioned as well that there's a discount on Amazon for the book initially.
Yeah, thanks for remembering that. So for the first week, we're offering a 99-cent discount for the ebook, just to try to boost the sales and get the book out there and get it known to people. We're trying to hit our a number one seller on Amazon, bestseller. So I appreciate any help on that I can get.
Excellent. Marty, that's been fantastic. Thanks a million for coming on the podcast today.
Hey, Tom, it's great seeing you again. Thanks a lot for having me. Really appreciate the conversation.
Okay, we've come to the end of the show. Thanks, everyone, for listening. If you'd like to know more about digital supply chains, head on over to sap.com/digital supply chain or simply drop me an email to tom.raftery@sap.com. If you like the show, please don't forget to subscribe to it in your podcast application of choice to get new episodes as soon as they're published. Also, please don't forget to rate and review the podcast. It really does help new people to find the show. Thanks. Catch you all next time.